Right. So, welcome, one and all, to a podcast, maybe.
This is a podcast.
Hopefully, there will be more after this, but not for a little while, because car news doesn't tend to happen fully regularly.
You'll never guess what's just happened in my house.
Really?
It's the vacuum cleaner. I could not make this up.
Incredible. That's insane. So, yes, the premise of this podcast is myself and Joe here look at car news and comment on it in a witty, perhaps slightly pub bantery way.
Yes, with our very valuable opinions.
Yes, and you should listen to us. You should consider us more important to listen to than most people.
Yes, exactly. We are qualified.
I don't know. Like, maybe your parents? I don't know. Like, maybe more important? I don't know. Like I said, like, to take it into consideration.
My dad doesn't know what a turbo is, so probably more important.
So what's even the point?
My parents.
Is he really your dad?
No, not really. Yeah. Well, I hope so, but...
Anyway, so we're starting this off with a little segment that I think we're going to call Show and Tell. With as much love as I can possibly say, because we're both so, like, neck deep in the car world... There has to be at least a little bit, like a little sprinkling of tism.
Yes,
I think
we have to kind of info dump for a couple minutes, get it out of our system, and then we can talk nuanced.
It's information that we're excited to share because we find it interesting.
Because I always find when you're having a conversation with somebody about something, and you have something in your mind that you want to share, you're always looking for an opportunity to kind of try and talk about it, but here we can talk about it at the beginning.
Yeah, like find a way to segue into the topic.
Yes.
Here, it's just blatant. Yes. You're going to sit there and we're going to talk at you.
Yes.
Whether you like it or not. Welcome to the fucking podcast.
Yeah, so, sounds about right.
Yes.
Do you want to go first or shall I?
Your slide is first.
My slide is first on the very professional slides.
Yes. We're a podcast with slides. We're not ripping off. Well, there's your problem. Whatever. What are you talking about?
No. This is an original idea.
Yeah. Oh God. This is so good. Just go. Yes. Just go, please.
Right. So my kind of the thing that I've been really obsessing over these past couple of weeks, because I recently went on a trip to Europe, and I was in Belgium and I saw an Oldsmobile Alero, which was completely bizarre because I wouldn't imagine anyone would buy those voluntarily in the US, let alone in Europe. But apparently they did. Apparently someone in Belgium bought it, and I wanted to get a picture. I was literally sprinting down the street, but I could not get a picture of it. But it kind of led me down the rabbit hole of vehicles sold in this country and other countries that you wouldn't expect. So obviously, as you can see here, there is the Oldsmobile Alero. The other one that I found really interesting, which there wasn't sold in the UK, hence why they're in their separate little containment area, was the Standard 2000, which was a Rover SD1 that they sold in India with a 2-litre engine, and it was extremely overpriced and terribly made, and they sold barely any of them.
Yeah.
I just think it's such a bizarre...
It
why?
Is, yeah, because...
Why would you even try?
I was aware of the Standard 2000, but it's always perplexed me. Like,
yeah,
of all the names you choose to revitalize, you choose Standard.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible to have, like, a car brand name that's more boring.
Exactly.
It's literally in the name, Standard. Like... I realize what they're going with for, because like back when they named the company back in, I don't know, like the 1800s. The 1800s was a different time, like, you know.
Yes.
Polio was a common disease. they still sent little boys sweeping up chimneys, and the word standard...
Yes, asbestos was a good material.
Yes, yes. There was still cocaine in Coca-Cola.
Yes, yeah.
And the word standard was like more of a...
The gold standard.
Yes, exactly. It was more like this car is the standard. This is what other cars must be measured by. But as the decades progressed...
Yeah, it just sounds like they've made up a company for a video game or something. It's not a car game. They just needed to have a car company for their video game.
Yeah, again, it's a sort of GTA thing,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It? You know, like, yeah, no.
And the fact that they decided to sell out of all of the vehicles that were offered, you know, by British Leyland at the time... or BMC, or whatever it was. You probably know the timeline better than I do. But it was the SD1. Why the SD1 in particular? I'm struggling to put this together in my head. Surely there were better vehicles in the mid-80s that would have suited the Indian market slightly better than the SD1.
Oh my... Sorry, I was just... While you were explaining that, I just went to look this up. Because it's a 2000, because that's how big the engine is, right? I was trying to find out what 2-litre straight four that is. Was it, I don't know,
that I have don't say. So what is it?
Yeah, I would say, oh, well, like, given the time, maybe it was like an O-series or something.
Yeah.
Or like, you know. No. It is the original standard four-cylinder engine.
Oh.
Pushrod. All cast iron. That first began production in 1947.
Oh. that's you in your automation campaign trying to desperately keep your company going. Like,
that's insane.
Why?
That's like Ford small block / Chevrolet small block, like, levels of just not giving up and beating this dead horse.
The only thing I can think is petrol quality, maybe?
No.
But...
No.
Even then...
No.
There's no excuse. There just isn't an excuse.
No. Moving on.
Moving on. Well, I'm still staying on the subject of India. I know less details about this thing because who does? But they actually sold the Tata Safari in this country, which I find a bit nuts. I've never seen one.
No,
I never heard about one before I was researching for this. It definitely looks, you know?
Mm.
It looks like it's been squished from the side.
Yeah. Like, I see what you're getting at with that.
It has
yeah.
somewhat ordinary proportions, except it's just been squished. I don't know, it's just a bit of bizarre
it's
vehicle.
A bit
and the
tall,
fact that that's a 2004, that looks very much firmly at home in 1997.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, funnily enough, also didn't do too well. The other ones that I have just here that I was researching, the one in top right, the BYD E6, I actually knew about because there is one in my village.
Wow.
Somebody owns one. They are a tiny... No, they're not tiny, actually. They're massive for some reason. Electric car from the mid-2010s, a Chinese BYD, and they were trialled to be the new London taxi, and they didn't make it. But they did actually sell some over here, and there is, for some reason, one in my town, which was very bizarre the first time I saw it, because, you know, as a car person, I like to pride myself on thinking that I would recognise most vehicles I see on the street, especially modern things. But I saw that. No, not a clue. It looks like it doesn't look like a real vehicle that would be made by people.
Yeah, no, again, it's... It looks like a 3D model.
Yes, it looks like it would be on those... Did you used to play those mobile driving games, you know, for, like, phones or tablets? They'd be called, like, City Car Rush 2012. They'd be full of ads.
Yeah, and I think I'm aware. I'm the very
I used to
aware,
spend
yeah.
an unhealthy amount of time driving cars, looked a lot like that in Unity, around games like that. I can't believe that it's real. Also, AU Falcons, they sold them here.
Only the U,
apparently.
Or did they...
I think, from what I researched, and my research was not the most comprehensive, because Trust me. But I believe it was only the Utes, and they were sold not by Ford. They were sold by another company who imported them.
Yeah, like
as commercial.
Sort of like the you know, the Lada Niva situation.
Yes. Yeah. I just think it's a bit bizarre. Imagine being in the early 2000s and you see an AU Falcon coming towards you.
And I love that it's the AU Falcon. It's like it's the fucked up one.
It's literally the AU Falcon is such a bizarre looking vehicle. And I will skip to the final one, which is the Lincoln LS, which they were going to sell, and then they ended up not selling because Ford didn't want to.
And also because it is underneath just a Jaguar S-Type, so what's even the point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I do think it's quite cool, and they sold six of them.
Wow.
Six.
Massive numbers there, boys. Let's fucking go.
The day that I see one of those for sale on Auto Trader, I'm going to have to go inquire and go have a look at it, simply just to kind of take in the fact that it's possibly the rarest vehicle I will ever see.
Like, those must have been press cars or something.
I think they were, yeah. I think they were press cars, and they thought...
No, because they are... I've noticed that is right-hand drive.
Yeah, it's right-hand drive. It has all, you know, amber lights and everything. It was made... It was a proper UK market car... But they just decided not to sell them, I guess, because they thought it was pointless.
Yeah, no. Although, I do think they've actually slightly missed the mark there, because if they introduced the Lincoln name to the UK through that car, then that would have been like a back door for the Lincoln Navigator and shit like that.
The Navigator would have been. I mean, all SUVs like that were big, you know, popular in the US, and you would. They had a cult following over here. I think it would be. More of a following if they were sold in right-hand drive.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, that's probably a good thing, though, because we don't have yet another SUV on the bloody road.
Yeah, no, we don't need them.
Need a Navigator. Thank you very much. Just keep them. They're all yours.
Yeah.
Be grateful.
Yeah. None of these I'm particularly weeping over the fact that we didn't have more of.
Yes. No.
It's just interesting. It's the kind of thing that keeps me up at night. But we will move swiftly on.
Moving on. My slide is a bit smaller just because my topic area is slightly less general. Gaze upon the majesty of voisin, which I am, like,
what?
I don't know, I think they're French. Okay, do you want me to full Brexit geezer it? Voisin.
Yes. Oh, you see, you say it like that, and I've seen that name before. I just never got them to pronounce it in my head. Drive a voisin, simplage.
I ain't foreign as simple as. Not racist, just don't like them. Anyway, yes, so story here. I'll try and keep it nice and short and simple. The company was Avions Voisin because, like, they did make planes. Yeah, as you can see, the cars are just, like, absolutely nothing else that's been made before or since, or at the time.
They are gorgeous.
Yeah, the fucking, like, chop top roof thing going on.
It doesn't look like a production vehicle. Like, none of them
it
do.
It looks like an aftermarket, like pimp job, but
or like a custom one-off coach build.
Yeah, but no, they are very real, and they are absolutely gorgeous. One of the more unique things about them is that they did use their own engines. They did make their own engines, and they were sleeve valve.
You are going to have to explain that to me in intelligent terms.
Okay. Future editing bin man, get up like a graphic for this. Basically, instead of like the poppet valves, like open and let fuel in, it's the closest thing I can like describe it to you that you might know is that like it's more similarly related to the ports on a Wankel engine.
Yeah, I kind of get what you mean now.
So. It's called a sleeve valve because the piston is not moving by itself in a cylinder. There's also, like, a sleeve that also moves up and down around the cylinder.
That is absolutely bizarre. I feel like I was researching a car company, like, in a, you know, going down a rabbit hole a while ago, and I remember reading up on this. It's what a bizarre idea.
It's, I mean, before we had like more, I mean, before we had better quality fuel, and before we had more precise ignition timing and various things like that, it did actually have quite a fair number of advantages over like your traditional poppet valve. Especially when back in these days, you'd still have a bunch of engines that were flatheads and side valves and shit like that.
Yeah.
The sleeve valve actually offered a great number of advantages. It then went out of fashion when everyone realized, hang on, these are so fucking complicated. And we have to spend more on high quality metal. Why spend more when we can spend less? And I don't care if it was worse, it's cool. The sleeve valves are just cool. It's funny. Why can't we have funny things?
Anymore? I understand enough to know it's different enough to be cool.
Yes.
Like,
so, but a bunch, quite a fair number of companies actually used sleeve valves back in the day. Daimler, as in English Daimler, used them for a little bit. Panhard did as well, off the top of my head.
Oh, I think it was Panhard that I was researching that led me to this, yeah.
Yes. It's just, it's pretty cool, pretty interesting. And much like a lot of things in France, did not survive being occupied by the Germans.
Hmm.
Unfortunately.
Anyway. Sad.
Yes. Much like many things in history, the Nazis ruined it.
Yes. Yeah. My mind immediately went to Tatra. Although I guess Tatra did make a lot more cars still, but they, thinking of what they could have been. Well, I do love the stories about all the generals stealing Tatra.
And then crashing them.
And then crashing them.
The Czech secret weapon. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's such a great, great story. You know, that vehicle had the spirit in it of resistance.
Incredible. But yes, moving on. We'll begin the main segment of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The news.
The news.
Indeed. So, first big thing that's if you're watching this, that means you're a sufficient enough car nerd to be subscribed to either me or Joe-O, probably. And that means that, like us, you worship at the altar at Saab and have probably already made a blood sacrifice. And the big news is that, well, I suppose it was news a couple of months ago that the Neves Emily GT exists and works. Yeah. And is all around a very cool piece of kit, because look at it. It's a Saab.
It looks... I mean, yeah, it is a Saab. Like, I keep wanting to say it looks like a Saab nowadays, but it is a Saab nowadays, basically.
Yeah, there because is no... it's the only thing that makes it not a Saab is the badge and the name.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a modern current-day Saab. It's got all sorts of interesting things, like the motors for the wheel are in the wheels themselves, like that.
Of course,
you know,
of course, because Saab could never engineer a vehicle normally, even moving to electric cars, which are supposedly so many less moving parts and all that. They still have to find a way to make it ridiculously complicated.
Make it ridiculously complicated and cool in a way that no one else has done.
Exactly, in a way that will make mechanics smash their heads against walls.
Yes, when they try and fix it.
You can still excuse it.
Yes, no. Before we get people in the comments going, oh, there are other companies who've got, like, one motor per wheel thing. No, the motor is in the wheel. Yes.
Like, it's a different thing to what Rimac have. This isn't...
Yes.
You know.
But this allows for all sorts of clever things, like, I don't know, more accurate torque vectoring or something.
I could kind of imagine that.
There's clever ways they've, accounted for the fact that the unsprung weight is now a lot higher, but, you know, they've done all sorts of clever stuff around that, like...
Of course they've thought of it, know, I mean...
This is Saab, of course, if,
yeah,
like,
it is Saab. What else would they do?
Okay, but the news here is that when Nevs, when like the news was coming out that Nevs was going bust, we didn't even know that this car existed. And then basically right before the news that they were completely bankrupt and gone was released, and this car was unveiled. And they like they let Top Gear drive it, they did a whole video on it, etc., etc. But the news is that a third-party contractor or investment group or something has announced that they are in talks with, I think, the creditors or administrators or however it fucking works in Sweden.
Yeah.
That they are interested in at least buying out about, I think, no, I think the figure was 80% of Nevs' assets to then begin production of this car at the Saab factory.
Oh, it's the kind of news, the kind of very rare modern car news that makes me genuinely hopeful for the future, because I might see one of these on the road one
yes,
day.
Yes, there is a possibility. Of course, we mustn't get our hopes up.
No, no.
Because the talks were supposed to be finished as of this autumn. It's now looking like it's going to go into 2024. But either way, this is bigly shit if it does go through.
It's very I think it's a very promising vehicle on its own regard, like standing on its own. The fact that it's a new Saab just makes it even better.
Yes. No, this is all round good thing, hopefully. I don't really think there's much more we can say other than...
No, until we have more details.
Until we have more... Yeah, exactly. We need to wait for more details to come out. But...
But if you're watching this, people who are planning on funding this vehicle, do it. Thanks.
DM me.
Greatly appreciate. Yes. I will contribute. I've at least got a couple hundred quid I would put towards this car manufacturer becoming a thing. Just, can I get like a little model or a key ring?
Yeah, something like DM me, please. Like, you can't see, but I'm doing like the fingers together thing. You know, like you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing it too.
Like, you know, I'm doing like the hands under the chin thing, like trying to look cute.
Oh, there will be fan art of that. There won't be, but there might be. hopeful.
We need to get this hashtag trending. This car's promising. This kid's got talent.
It does. It actually does. It does look promising. Please give it a chance.
All right. Moving on. You've all seen it. You've all heard about it. It's the Alfa Romeo 33 Stradale. It's back. Guys, remember the thing you like? It's that thing you like.
It's the thing you like. We've brought it back.
You like back, but now it's new and modern. Give us money.
Please, it's a lot of money. We need the money.
Yeah, God, well, how much was it?
To be fair, they're not begging anymore. They've got the money, haven't they?
Yeah, no, they've got the money. They sold them all. They were 1.8 million each for a car it looks pretty good. There are like areas of it that I'm a bit iffy on, the back especially. The back is way too busy.
I'm not a massive fan of the front lights or the rear lights. But I think generally it looks quite good.
Yes, of course, generally it looks quite good because it is a Maserati MC20.
Yes, the Maserati. The MC20 is... I've seen one in person a few times and felt very bad for the owners who have lost so much money in depreciation. Mm-hmm. But every time I see one, I think that is a genuinely pretty modern car.
Yeah, no, it genuinely looks pretty good.
They would have to try to mess it up, I think, but...
So yes, they've sold all of them, and you'll never guess how fucking many of these Alfa Romeo 33s they made. You'll never fucking guess.
Oh, 50.
Close enough.
Yep, we'll go with that. 50 is close
enough. I don't know, probably.
Wait, could it be 33?
No, no way. No.
Oh, okay, no, that'd be too on the nose, no.
No.
It seems to me like one of those vehicles that Pagani make because they need money to make more vehicles, but I don't think Alfa Romeo do need more money to make more vehicles. Well, maybe they do, to be fair. Well, it is Alfa Romeo.
I think overall it's worked because after we began planning for this, to cover this car, a new story came out Alfa Romeo are already working on a successor to this thing.
Of course they are, of course.
I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game, I guess.
Yeah, the thing that I found while researching this that shocked me the most is the fact that there's a V6 version and a battery-powered version, because, you know, it's now, you know, got to make the petrol one that's current year and then the electric one that will have aged terribly in 10 years. But the electric one weighs about 40% more than the petrol one. 40%!
That is impressive.
I mean, that's a lot. That is 40. You know, you cut the car off at this, you know, this front of the windscreen. That's the whole back of the car again. It's mad. There's no way, no matter how much power or electric motor, torque vetching or whatever.
Yeah, no, they're different cars.
Yeah, it cannot make up. They will have fundamentally completely different handling characteristics, which to me I find very weird that they're you know, being basically advertised as ticking a different option box when you go to order it, when you're ordering two separate cars completely. Like, they are not the same vehicle. Honestly, the way I would have done it personally is I would have had, you know, the V6 one look like this, and then the electric one maybe a bit more extreme looking. I don't know. Maybe there's a reason I don't work for Alfa Romeo, but I feel like something to separate the fact that these two vehicles are going to be completely different in terms of handling, drivability, everything because of this weight. It just seems nuts to offer them as saying they're basically the same vehicle when they're not.
Yeah, no, it's... I think it's actually more interesting that while they were happy to publish a lot of stats about the V6 version, we didn't see as many about the electric one.
No.
That's quite interesting. Look, I'll flash something up on screen if I'm wrong. I don't remember seeing anything anywhere that said the range of the electric one.
No. But I think that that's one of the problems with electric supercars and things like that, is because you could say that the range is 400 miles, but if you drive it in any sort of interesting way, it's not going to be anywhere near 400 miles.
No.
So I kind of understand the not advertising the range, because let's be honest, nobody cares about the range of a Lamborghini Aventador.
Of a supercar, no.
Yeah. So but with an electric one, obviously, you know, I know that people cry about it taking 4 hours to charge every, and it doesn't nowadays. You're just wrong. That's not really as much of a valid argument anymore.
Yeah, because, and also, like, okay, but, you know, that only matters if you're going on a really, really long road trip.
Yeah. You know, as much as that was a valid argument 10 years ago, it's not anymore. And there are valid arguments against electric vehicles being the only option, but the range thing is, especially in the UK, is a really minor one.
That is a point to make, but I don't know, with specific regard to the 33 here, it's, I mean, Alfa made their money out of it. They made a hell of a lot of money out of it, and so much that they're planning to just basically do it again.
Yeah,
so
you like that one? Well, we've got that one too. But thing I'm looking forward to finding out in 10 years or so is how the values of the two compare, electric versus petrol.
Maybe.
Because
I have a
feeling that the petrol one is going to be worth a good 2 to 3 times more.
Yes. And it might even be hard to judge because they made so few of them. But
true. Yeah. That is true, actually. Yeah.
But moving on to other things that Alfa Romeo is planning to make. It has been revealed that Alfa Romeo is working on another small SUV. This is the actual leak here, by the way. actual leak image. As we can see, they are designing it in Ridge Racer PlayStation 1.
It doesn't look like a vehicle that anyone would buy over any other vehicle. Well, I mean, I say that, but it's just a Kia Sportage.
Yeah, because here's the thing that, in my mind, like, You know, so they've announced they're making a new small SUV. I thought that had already happened.
Yeah, the toenail.
Yes.
It doesn't that fill the niche. It's not a niche anymore. Doesn't that fill the slot? I don't know.
Yeah, is this actually going to be slightly bigger? Is this a Stelvio replacement, maybe?
But I thought, or is it smaller?
Yeah, or is it even smaller than the Tonale toenail?
I have no idea. I don't know. I think Alfa Romeo are, at least with vehicles like this, they're just doing it wrong. Because Alfa never sell in high numbers.
You say that.
Especially.
You say that. Alfa Romeo is looking to make a colossal profit this year. Their sales figures are the highest they've been in a very, very long time this year.
Well, that just makes me feel a little bit sick to my stomach.
Selling out works.
Oh, I was ready to go on about the whole speech about how they're doing it wrong, but I guess they're doing it right, and that's sad.
We can save it for the segment at the end of the podcast, but that's a spoiler because we haven't. Don't skip to the end of the video to see that segment. Watch the rest. You have to watch the rest. I'll be angry at you.
You'll miss the extremely important word I'm going to say within the next 30 seconds.
Yes. The word I'm about to say the winning lottery numbers right now.
The code word that activates the microchip in your head that will immediately read out the location of a giant pot of gold.
Yes. Moving on. Lotus Emea.
Yeah?
I'm not angry that Lotus are making a saloon.
I'm just slightly disappointed it looks like that.
Yes. Because it looks like a Lincoln Co.
Yep.
That's the thing. Like,
All
the Geely, whatever, all the brands under that umbrella are like following the exact same design language. The only ones that aren't are Volvo and the London Taxi Company. But I feel like, especially with that last one, they have a specific reason to be exempt.
Yeah. But it's. I mean, the biggest compliment I can give to it is that it looks very slightly, if you squint a lot, like the Lamborghini Estoque concept, which was that four-door thing that they
made.
Yeah,
the four-door Lamborghini that was brilliant and lovely, and we didn't get because we aren't allowed nice things.
And they didn't make it, and they made the Anus instead.
Mm.
But that's the biggest compliment I can give to it. I think you're right that all modern vehicles under the Geely, I mean, I guess it's somewhat to do with platform sharing and all that, but they just look so similar.
There are other companies that do platform sharing that, you know, manage to make their cars look a damn sight different.
Well, yeah, you are right there, actually. The Twingo and the Renault and the Smart 4.4 is the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, they barely look anything alike.
I mean, I don't really like the look of either of them, but that's besides the point.
The
thing I find the most insulting, I guess, is that if it was just like classic, like British Leyland or BMC badge engineering, where they slap a Wolseley badge on it and you pay £20 more, then that's, I guess, fair enough. But here, there's so much work gone into, you know, the marketing blurb, I bet, always says, you know, it encapsulates the Lotus spirit of design and everything, but it just doesn't. Like, there is nothing about that that is
Lotus
more than 10% different than whatever other vehicles share this platform.
Yes.
But they're pretending as if it is. They're not being honest and just putting a Lotus badge on it and saying, we want to make some money so that we don't get cut out of the will. You know,
it's not being made in Hethel.
No.
Which I don't necessarily have, like, a problem on principle of it being made in China, besides, like, potential workers' rights things. But it's a Lotus that's not being made in Hethel. That makes me feel weird.
Yeah.
However, there is one thing that they have said they might do, and again, this is complete rumours, but if this is true, I will forgive all of it.
Mm-hmm.
There is whispers that they might make an estate version.
Oh.
So you changed your change your tune pretty quickly there, didn't you?
I know that it's the like most basic car opinion that everyone says is contrarian.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, man walks up to the pedestal at like in front of a massive audience. Estate's good.
Yeah, it's the easiest, you know, it's the quintessential quote tweet of name an unpopular car opinion. Estate car good, SUV bad. Whoa, it's not a controversial opinion to have, but I am still part of that crowd who really likes estate cars. I'm unashamedly not contrarian about this. I like estates. And I mean the Taycan Sport Turismo.
That's why the idea is being floated, because they are like the whole point is that they are trying to turn Lotus into their Porsche rival. That's why the Electra has come out. The Electra is going to go after whatever electric thing succeeds the Cayenne. The Emeya is clear. Like I'm pretty sure it's been outright stated that they're going after the Taycan with it. And there's an estate Taycan, so let's make an estate Emeya.
I'm getting confused with all these bloody E names, to be honest. It's like listing out a list of E numbers that my dad's allergic to or something. It's like the Amira and the Emeya.
I can't wait for them to bring out the Lotus Ecstasy.
the Lotus Erection. That's the next one, I think, on the list. The SUV thing, the less I think about it, the better, really.
Speaking
but again,
that's
another example. It's a slight... do we have to?
I've got good news for you.
Oh, great. I'm jumping with joy.
Oh, God. So, yes, it has also been news that Alpine is also going to make an electric SUV because much like Lotus, Renault has decided that it is going to turn Alpine into its Porsche rival. Because Porsche absolutely fucking print money.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of these companies haven't quite gotten to grips with the fact that Porsche prints a lot of fucking money because they have stayed Porsche forever. They haven't, you know, apart from that, you know, they've made more modern stuff, but the 911 is the main money printer because the 911 has gone back as far as these people who were buying 911s can remember. They wanted a 911 when they were seven, and they can go out and buy a 911 that is basically the same but better in every, you know, metric.
Yeah.
Now, that's why they want a 911. I don't think these people quite understand, you know, even if Lotus came out tomorrow and said, here's a new supercar we made, it's called the Esprit, and it's a brand new thing. But yes, people want an Esprit when they're a kid, but they haven't grown up seeing Esprits. They will hopefully understand that they're just reusing a name. We could do a section about that, you know.
Anyway.
It's just, yeah, I don't think these companies are quite doing it right with making, just coming what? Up with a
You're saying that big budget marketing teams aren't actual human beings and don't understand what everyday people feel?
You know what? That might be a good way of putting it, actually. I don't think any of these companies are ever going to succeed to anywhere near the level of Porsche, is what I'm trying to say, really.
No, but if it means that Lotus and Alpine stick around...
I guess I can,
it's not that bad. Anyway, with this slide, we are introducing introducing the audience to what... Having done research for this, you know, so far what we've done for this, for this episode, and going into future episodes... A great recurring antagonist of this podcast, I think, is going to be the fake auto magazine render.
Oh.
The biggest offender, of course, being Autocar.
Yes, Autocar and their renders that, they either leave a lot of disappointment or a lot of hope, and they never really look like what the car actually looks like, but people still base their opinion on speculation of a vehicle based on the Autocar renders, which drives me insane, because you get people saying on Twitter, I think the new Alpine SUV looks terrible, and it's like, I think it probably will, yes, but you're basing this on a render by somebody who has no knowledge of what it's going
to
look like.
Literally just works for a company and was told, like, Alpine are making an SUV. What do you think it will look like? Dora Explorer looks into the camera.
I would not be surprised if these are made with AI in some way.
Probably, yeah.
Because this would be the easiest thing for them to use. I'm not saying they should, but this would be the easiest thing for them to use AI for. Create an SUV that looks like the Alpine A110. There you go. It's such an annoying thing when you're trying to research stuff.
Yeah. But, like I was saying before when we were putting this together, I do think this is Renault's big play. Because... Yeah. We've seen it, like, with all kinds of companies, and we'll cover this later at the end of the podcast. We've got a whole segment about it.
Mm-hmm.
The trend right now in the car industry is premiumize or die.
Yep.
The only people who can afford to buy new cars now are people who have a lot of money and want to buy a nice car.
Yes.
Your dad, who is the only person who works in a family of four... cannot afford a new small Ford anymore.
No.
Used to be back in the day, if your dad was a teacher, your mum didn't work, he would be able to buy a new Ford Cortina after saving up for a little bit. Cannot happen
anymore. It wouldn't be the top of the range one, but it would be enough.
No, cannot do that anymore. Not a chance.
No.
The only people who can afford to buy a new car are people who have, like I said, more money, want to buy a nice premium car. As such, cheaper budget brands like Renault are in trouble. Peugeot managed to save themselves because Peugeot are trying to move up market. Or at least, maybe they haven't managed to save themselves yet, but they've seen the trend.
This will age either well or terribly in 5 years, I imagine.
Exactly, yeah. Even Volkswagen, a lot of the new Volkswagens that are coming out, the new electric ones, are based on like the Audi e-tron. You know? Yeah. Like they're big, expensive cars. You can option up a VW to be very, very luxurious, even a Golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And making Alpine into a big premium name is, I think, Renault's attempt to follow the trend and escape
They're kind of trying to give their premium brand a leg up, and then the premium brand will not help the original brand climb the same hill, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, like, I don't think, even if this succeeds, even if Alpine becomes like a big name, Renault isn't going to die. They're still going to use the Renault name like to make small cheap cars, because as much as I've been doom-mongering, there will always be a market for a Renault Clio or a Ford Fiesta. Well, I say that until they killed off the Ford Fiesta, but you know what I mean. there will always be a market for smaller, cheaper cars. It's just that big companies can't really make a profit on them anymore.
No. And the other thing I think is that the only other group of people that can afford to get new cars are people who are paying a lot each month on a PCP deal, and every few years they upgrade their car, and they don't want to be paying all this money each month, you know, for the foreseeable future, to not even own a car, for it to not be a premium brand. You know, the only reason that they're doing this is so that every 2 years they get to impress the neighbours by having a new shiny BMW X1 on the driveway or something. And nobody wants to do that for a Ford or a Vauxhall.
No. But an Alpine...
Maybe.
Well, again, we'll see how it goes.
We will see, yes.
Yes. Speaking of BMW.
Mm-hmm. Live reaction. Are there any redeeming features for this thing?
I don't know, man.
It's the BMW new class, isn't it? It's the concept that shows off.
No. You got to do like the corporate thing. It's the Neue Klasse, because that's how you say it in German.
Oh, sorry, the Neue Klasse, yes. Let me just grab my comically small cup of coffee while I say that. Companies do this every once in a while. They come up with a concept that shows how their future brand design identity is going to be. And it sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. And this is a case where I really hope it doesn't, because I just hate this thing.
Yes,
this is such a symbol of everything that's wrong with the car.
Yeah, because scene. Okay, so not only have this is the smallest one. There's multiple Neue Klasse prototypes out there, disguised prototype driving. So we know this design language is making it to the road because we've seen like the disguised prototypes on the road. And so what we can gather from this is the BMW grille.
Yep.
It's okay. It's no secret that it's been gaining a little bit of weight for a little while now, and because no one's had the confidence to tell it, it has now ballooned out to a proportion large enough to swallow worlds.
And are you gonna be the one to reveal the funniest detail about this grill?
I don't know. Do you want to do it?
I guess I can do it. It's a screen.
It's not even a real... Because it's an electric car. Doesn't need a grill. It's a screen!
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this design language that I think most prevalent in the XM thing.
Oh,
Which I have... once we finish with this segment, I have an image, a meme about that that I saw on Facebook that is actually funny about that vehicle. But
funny Facebook meme, Jesus.
It's rare. It's only in certain groups. But it's... We saw that kind of design language creeping in, but this is just such a... It's just an offence to my eyes, I think, really. I like the proportions.
Yes.
The thing is, I like the proportions. I like the doors. I think they look cool, you know? But it's just that front is just so gopping.
I don't really... Yeah, like... Yeah, you can make, like, a really, really lovely, like, Victoria sponge cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and the rest of it can be great. It doesn't really matter how nice the cake is if you then just, like, top it with, like, a little bit of gasoline. Just, like, a little bit. Just, like, a little touch.
Yeah, just a little sprinkling.
You know, like, yeah.
No, I there is nothing... I mean, it's... Yeah, I just kind of hate it, really. I mean, the thing is, I hate it more for what it... represents than
yes.
Like if this was a concept by an unknown manufacturer, I think I would be able to find more positives. But the fact that this is BMW, this is fucking BMW who made the 850 and the 635 CSI, some of the most gorgeous cars ever, and this is what they are showing to the world proud as what they are going into. It's just so
that you can see the weather forecast on the grill of your car. It's like.
I'm just waiting for when somebody hacks that to make it look like Christine and it crashes into some sort of wall or something.
Yes, no, that could be good. Oh, you know there's going to be some jokers who have, like, the Knight Rider, like, red light going back and forth. That's actually, like, no.
Oh, because that's the type of people who are going to buy it as well. It's going to be...
Oh, no, we're going to have, like, tech bros buying it. God, oh, no, no, God. No, move on.
The ones who can't buy a Tesla now, the ones who have a Model 3 and are thinking... I really don't want to be associated with that bloke anymore. What can I buy next?
It's going to be BMW. No, you're so right. It's going to be BMW, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, can we move on from this?
Yes, moving on.
I do have to just quickly... Yeah, I do not speak French, but I find this funny enough.
Oh, XM Break, right, yes. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
How they have ruined the name.
No, I mean... I did a collaboration video with Lord Hardthrasher where I did a whole segment on the XM. maybe you should go watch that as well.
Shameless plugs are allowed.
I wrote a whole spiel on the XM for that collab video. I can't. I legitimately can't. I can't do it again.
No. Well, people will go have to look at that video now then. That wasn't English. But anyway.
Yes, so... Jaguar have announced that they're bringing back the XJ.
Ooh, yeah.
This is good news.
Yeah. Is this what it's going to look like?
It's what Autocar thinks it's going to look like.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
So there are no renders of it because it was literally announced a couple of weeks ago and, like, they're not going to show it off immediately because it's probably not even reached a drivable state yet. Or something.
If it is a saloon, and if it does kind of modernise the current... Because I have nothing against Jaguar styling of the past 10 years or so. If it properly modernizes that, I'm all for this. I think it's good news.
Yes. As like the fact that we have, because the problem I've had is since the XJ finished production in 2019,
yeah,
there hasn't been a car in the Jaguar range besides maybe the F-Type that's like a that's a Jag.
Yeah, and they don't even make the F-Type anymore, I don't think.
No, I mean that's, I mean, yeah, I'm aware that they've been running it out for a little bit. I don't know if it has finished production, but it's not long for this world.
No.
But yeah, if this XJ does make it to the road, if there's an option to have, like, a wood trim interior, then I will be happy.
Yeah, please no piano black plastic. I hate
please,
piano black
just,
plastic.
Just give, like, if I can get it with walnut.
And it, like, I hate piano back plastic, but I hate it more in the context of a Jag.
God, no. Like, it's bad enough on its own. You had to, like, you know, sully a Jag with it, really.
Yeah.
But, and this is also especially good news given that the they were planning on making an electric XJ and axed it literally, like, a couple of months before it was supposed to go on sale.
Oh, wow.
A couple of years back. The one thing that I have heard is that it will be like six digits in terms of price. But they are aiming quite upmarket with it, but don't care. As long as we get a proper Jag.
I mean, I think that's what they have to do to sell any of them, really. Because to make them cheaper, they would have to make them cheaper, and then nobody would buy them.
Yeah. Alongside this, they have also announced that it's probably based on the same platform, whatever they're doing for the XJ. They're also going to make a new electric SUV. Okay, sure. Jag and, like, literally everyone else. Who cares?
Yeah. Yawnfest, don't really care. But
speaking of SUVs, there's a Toyota Century SUV now.
Yeah. Well, I say yeah, disappointedly. I quite like the fact that it carries the Century idea over to an SUV format, you know?
I guess.
I mean, that's the nicest compliment I can give to it.
Like, in the absurd hypothetical where I am required to buy, like, a limo SUV.
Yeah.
Between, because before this, it would have been between a Cullinan or a Bentayga.
Basically, yeah, that's it, really.
Now that this has been thrown into the option pile as well, yeah, I am less likely to choose Toaster Bath as the option.
Yeah, I might actually see, you know, if they held a gun to my head, I might actually see my family again, because I don't entirely hate this thing, I will be completely honest.
Yes, plus there is the GR version of it.
Yeah.
That has a sliding rear door.
That rear
and
door
that is just cool.
Is stupid, I love it. I'm surprised it doesn't have like a massive wing on the back or something.
No, I think it has like one of the biggest, like smallest profile tires and biggest rims I've seen on anything besides a Donk.
That's going to be terribly riding, but I don't actually know. I'm wondering if you know. Do you know if they're going to sell these outside of Japan?
I've seen some places that they're selling this in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay, but that would...
But,
I would,
like, that's not much... I'm
no,
not sure if they're going to sell
market.
It outside, like, the Asia-Pacific market.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm somewhat curious, because I know that, you know, they're trying to bring Crown into the US as, like, a luxury Toyota thing. They've got the Crown thing at the moment, which is really strange, and I don't really want to talk about because it makes me feel a bit sad. But I know that they're going, that Crown is going to try and be the halfway between Toyota and Lexus, I believe. But I'm wondering if they're going to also plan on selling this in the US or in Europe or something. I don't know, but it maybe,
because that's I could see this selling in the US.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I can't really see this selling anywhere near as much in Japan. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like...
Yeah, because the whole point of the Century brand is that, like, it I mean, it said in the marketing of the V12 Century back in, like, the late 90s and early 2000s, like, the marketing said, the Century is acquired through persistent work, the kind that is done in a plain but formal suit.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It's, like, aimed at the kind of businessman who wants luxury but doesn't want to necessarily be seen.
Yes, and this doesn't.
But the thing is, I think that kind of businessman, I mean, that kind of businessman didn't really exist in the West even at that time.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
And it's sort of, that kind of businessman was sort of only really a thing in, like, the workaholic culture.
Yeah.
That Japan had and still has.
I mean, the closest thing I would say to that would be, like, proper old money folks over here, where they have a lot of money, but, you know, the kind that trek around in old Land Rovers and stuff, but could afford to buy, you know, an entire town or something. But they would never want anything like this anyway.
What they do, and this is actually a practice I've known about, they will buy, like, a brand new Bentley or a Rolls Royce, and then keep it in storage for 10 years.
Huh?
And then start using it.
Wow. What? A bit bizarre, but...
To not appear so vulgar as to drive a brand new luxury car.
Yeah.
They will, as I said, buy a new one and then wait until it becomes old and then start using it.
But they wouldn't buy a used one because then other people have driven it.
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. The paws have touched those.
Yeah, that's bizarre, yeah. But I feel like the market for this might exist in the US, but I can't really imagine it existing anywhere else, including really Japan.
Yeah, it's a peculiar one. I mean, then again, we are arguing against the absolute, probably small country's GDP worth of money that has been poured into Toyota's marketing research.
I'm sure they know better than I do. This is just how I feel about it, really.
Moving on. Yes. The Bizzarini Giotto.
I'm sure I've ordered that at an Italian restaurant before. Right, there's my slightly offensive joke about the name out of the way.
There we go, fucking, like, we got it. Hell yeah, baby.
Ka-ching.
It's times like this, you know you're the greatest.
Yeah.
It looks like the GTA 5 version of itself.
It does, it literally does. There is no way that this is... I will literally eat... What's around my room that I could eat? I will eat the new keeper's slip for when I bought my Fiat Panda if I ever see one of these on the road. Because it is not happening. I would love to see it with its silly... What does it have, like, the most bizarre sized V12 or something?
Yes, okay. So, it does have a 6.6 litre V12. I am happy that we can still have a colossal V12 car. Yeah, and it's an engine that's developed by Cosworth.
Mm-hmm.
If Cosworth are behind it, there's got to be some money. There's got to be some amount of caring. But it is the thing is, it is specifically 6,626 cc's because Giotto Bizzarini, the namesake of this car, was born on the 6th of June, 1926.
Come on, there is no way that this is a real vehicle that they're going to put in production with stuff like that.
Like, okay.
I would love to see it, but...
Yeah, no, it's like, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to create, like build up the image of Bizzarini, and he was a cool guy. Very cool guy. Plus, like, they did, like, the Ferrari thing, because, like, obviously he was called Enzo Ferrari, and then they had the Ferrari Enzo. So they've just done that, but with Bizzarini instead. Which I do think that's quite funny, just being like, you know, if Bizzarini from the grave could give yet another middle finger to Ferrari.
Yeah. I just love the idea of me inventing something brilliant, and then in 100 years there's a car called the Morgan Joe, and everyone's just like... It sounds, it only works with, like, Italian names, doesn't it? Like, because what would this be in, like, in English if it was like an, it'd be called like the Greg Barnes or so, sorry, the Barnes Greg.
Yeah, no, or the Chapman Colin.
Exactly, the Chapman. It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
Yeah, well, what are you driving? Oh, yeah, mate, I'm driving a Colin.
Oh, I've got the Colin RS now.
he's fancy. What? The company car promotion thing where it's got, like, you know, the different trim levels.
Colin, my God. No, okay. I would love to see this thing on the road, and I wish them the best of luck. I'm saying that in the kind of the somewhat patronizing way you would say to a child if they had dreams that were very, like, their dream job was to be like an astronaut.
Yeah, like that's nice.
Yeah,
dear.
That's nice. I'm sure that if you put your mind to it, you can achieve that.
You know, it's nice that you're thinking ambitiously
and
not limiting yourself.
I'm so very proud that you've come up with a plan of how you're going to become an astronaut, sweetheart. But maybe you should just focus on doing your maths homework at the moment, and we'll see what happens, okay?
Yes. The one thing I hope we get out of this is that if we at least get, like, even if they make a promotional video and then go bust, if they do make a promotional video where I can hear a 6.6 litre V12 made by Cosworth, then I will be happy. This will all have been worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. So, VinFast,
which, to start off with, is a very, very funny name, I find.
Yeah, no. Great. Incredible name. Somehow, the news came out that for a brief moment, I think they were like the third most valuable car company in the world, very briefly.
How did they manage that?
I can only assume through legitimate business
and making
very good cars and selling lots of them.
Yes.
And definitely not because they've licensed, produced previous gen BMW 3 and 5 series. That's definitely not it.
No, and it couldn't at all be to do with the fact that they've sold 7,000 cars or something to a company that's owned by their own parent company.
Yeah, so this is like
nothing shady going on.
Like
here.
That's actually, like, legitimately, this is one of the oldest stock manipulation tricks in the book. You have usually back in the day it was done between two companies, although VinFast have, like, actually revolutionized the technique by just doing it themselves.
They've made it
truly
a lot more efficient.
Pioneering the field of stock manipulation.
They're on the cutting edge of defrauding investors.
Incredible. So what they've done, the trick really, like, say you have two people or one company who owns a lot of stock in something, and they want that stock to be more valuable for whatever reason. They will just keep buying and selling it off each other at increasing prices to inflate the price artificially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I said, VinFast have just streamlined the technique ingeniously by just doing it themselves.
I very much look forward to in 10 years the Roman from RCR doing the video on the VinFast their brief stint in the US and then the massive lawsuit afterwards.
Yeah, I can't wait for an RCR stories on this. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, that's the word, RCR stories. That's the ones. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Apparently, all of their cars are pretty terrible as well.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
not just terrible. Look, like they're properly badly built and everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, as I said, they facelifted and license produced BMWs from the previous gen.
Oh, that's how all good car
manufacturers get started. That's just a recipe for just a high quality product right there.
Yep.
Anyway.
Moving on, this was something I wanted to talk about slightly because it leads into just a general, not really a rant, just a genuine question. I'm wondering what the thought process is on this. So, Nissan have come up with a Nismo version of the new, I want to call it the 400Z, but it's not, is it? It's the Z Coupe.
Yes. I don't care.
I think it's a good-looking car.
Yeah.
But the Nismo version,
I mean, it is doing, like, the retro baiting thing again of the Alfa Romeo 33. Yes. It's like, remember the thing you like? Yeah. It's the thing you like.
Yeah, but I do. I still quite like it. But it's very much. It's still based. You know, it's an old platform. It is very much.
Wait,
you know,
is it based on? Sure, is it actually still based on the 370?
Oh yeah.
Fuck! I thought the whole point was that this was a new car. What the fuck?
It's got a new engine, but as far as I'm aware, the rest of it is basically still based on the 370.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Nissan!
Because all the driving videos I watch, people driving it saying, oh, I used to have a 350Z, it feels so similar. It's like, yeah, there's a fucking reason for that.
Jesus Christ. Okay, no, like, maybe this will be a spiel for the, like, if there's any news about Nissan next month or whenever we do another one of these.
Yeah.
I have a whole spiel about how Nissan have fallen off harder than probably most car manufacturers.
Yeah.
Nissan have fucking tanked in recent times. But sorry, yes, continue.
I've just Googled it to double check, though it is built on a modified and revised version of the previous generation's platform.
Oh.
So yes, it's a 370Z that looks different with a different engine. But they've come out with the Nismo version, which, apart from looking, I would say, quite a bit uglier, is only available in an auto, and it's not a double. It's not a dual clutch. It's a regular torque converter automatic.
I thought it was at least going to be like a flappy paddle.
Well, I mean, it has paddles, but it's still like fundamentally a torque converter auto.
And I presume the regular. I've seen like the regular version being offered with a manual.
Oh yeah, you can get the regular one with the manual.
God, Nissan.
But you can't get the Nismo with a manual.
Okay, no, because I was looking into this. Okay, I know that Renault and Nissan have been in cahoots for ages.
Oh, yeah.
But I was looking into it, because I knew that, like,
Mitsubishi's sitting in the cuck chair as well.
Pardon, sorry?
Mitsubishi is sitting in the cuck chair as well between
those
two.
Yeah. Like the Nissan and Renault are, like, the two, like, masters and, like, yeah. Mitsubishi's in the gimp suit. But I was looking into it. I was like, okay, I knew, like, is it like a 50-50 ownership each way? How does it work? And so I looked into it.
Yeah.
Even though Renault is probably about between a half and two thirds the size of Nissan, Renault owns way more of Nissan than Nissan owns of Renault.
It's bizarre.
It's really peculiar. I mean, like, Nissan owns like 11% of Renault or something like that. I'll flash up stats on screen that, like, what they actually are. Nissan owns like 11% of Renault, and Renault owns like 35% of Nissan.
Yeah.
Despite Renault being, again, only just over half the size.
I don't really understand the decision making that any of those companies have been making recently.
But yeah, no, Nissan's falling off. They're going to lose subscriber.
There was a comment I got recently on one of my videos just said, like, oh, great video, you just a subscriber.
Like,
he literally just said, you just a subscriber. So I don't know if that was a threat or like a compliment.
get off these streets, man, you just a subscriber. Jesus.
But with the Nismo, I just don't understand it, because the amount of people who craved, you know, the new Supra having a manual, and now I think that, from what I remember reading, the new Supra sells really well as a manual compared to the auto, but Nissan have read that and gone, we're making a very similar vehicle, very similar price point, you know, it's a fast choice, we'll go auto only. It worked for Toyota. I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me.
But yeah, no, Nissan's cringe. It's sad that I have to say it, but it's true. Yeah. This actually came out in between us planning this and us now recording it. There's an all-electric Wagoneer coming out, and they're gonna sell it in Europe, apparently. I think, maybe. Again, I'll flash something up on screen if I'm wrong. Yeah, no, this is gonna be like, I don't know, BMW iX... slash Mercedes EQS rival, I guess.
But like the bigger size American SUVs just never seem to do well in Europe. I mean, think of like the Dodge Nitro and all of those. They just don't.
Every now and then, like, I used to see Durangos around. I think.
Yes, yeah.
That was like the one that did okay. And every you don't not see Jeeps, I guess.
Yeah, but I think it's part of it is to do with the European brand snobbiness. You know, if you can buy a BMW or a Jeep, which whether they're both the same, you know, however good they are,
because
you would rather be seeing a BMW.
Because the Jeep that has done very well as of recent in Europe is the Renegade, and the Renegade is a Fiat.
Yes.
It's not a Jeep, it's a Fiat.
And I think that's also because it suited more to Europe. You know, it's small, it's funky styling, you know.
Yeah.
What, small, I say in quotation marks, is so large they could crush me to death. But, yeah, I don't see this doing particularly well in Europe. But maybe I'm wrong. They're more than welcome to prove me wrong. But I just don't see European buyers going out and buying this rather than the infinite number of other brands that there are that are selling vehicles in similar segments.
I can see this in the US doing really, really well against the against the Cadillac Celestiq or whatever, which they're also going to try and sell in Europe as well.
I love the Celestiq. The Celestiq is so I find it's like the first time that Cadillac have made one of these awesome concept cars and then actually fucking made it. Like, there was the Scion, which was like the mid-engined supercar thing, and there was the 16, which I remember having as a Hot Wheels as a kid, and I thought it was the coolest thing. And then it was the Celestiq, and I was like, oh, okay, it's another awesome Cadillac concept. And then they've actually built it and they're selling it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like anything else that's on the apart from,
it's
like,
it's incredible.
It's doing the one thing I've noticed. Electric cars, all the new ones, are massive fans of, like, the full-width rear taillight.
Yes, yeah.
And it's doing that as well, I think. But it's got enough different about it to set itself apart from basically everything else on the road that I wouldn't be angry seeing more of them in Europe just to spice things up.
No, I wouldn't either.
And they are planning on selling it in Europe. Don't know when, but they have said that they will.
I look forward to it, honestly. But the point that I always find is that the Americanness of American brands, I know that sounds stupid to say, trades well in America, but has the complete opposite effect in Europe, really.
Yeah, there's definitely a snobbiness.
Although they are one step on the pecking order in terms of European brand snobbiness over Chinese cars. I will say that Chinese cars are the ones that have to work even harder than them.
But also, I don't know, maybe with, like, the modern way things are working, I don't know, maybe because it's like the advent of the internet, every, like, culture is so much more international, maybe going into the future, maybe I don't know, maybe a decade or two down the line, maybe that snobbiness is on the decline.
But
yeah,
I mean, you see how people, well, not see, but you know how people in America used to talk about Japanese cars,
look at them
and
now,
Korean cars, and now that's not, I mean, obviously it still does exist, there are still people who are, you know, I will never buy no foreign car, but generally
Truck-tober.
Toyota Thon is coming.
I recently learned that, like, there's a thing in like the Ford community, like Ford truck community, that Dodge stands for Dick on Dick Gay Entertainment.
That's so amazing how they can come up with, like, the most gay thoughts while trying.
Yeah, while
to
trying
be
to be so masculine. Yeah,
it's like the I always think of that. I probably won't be able to find it, but there's one image where it's like Dodge the daughter, Ram the father.
Jesus,
it's just like a terrible, bad quality image of a Dodge Ram.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Oh. Just to quickly wrap things up. Maybe, like, going into the future, we're not going to be as snobby about American cars in Europe because, like, the same attitudes used to be with Japanese cars, then it was Korean cars, and look how fucking well Hyundai and Kia are doing now.
Despite the fact that they are the most stolen cars in the US because they don't come with immobilizers as standard in the year of our Lord 2020-fucking-3.
That's beautiful. Honestly,
it's my favorite. Like, if I'm lucky, in like an Xbox party or I play a game, we're talking about cars. That's my favorite thing to drop and wait for everyone to go, eh? There's no way. And everyone goes, well, my 2003 Corsa has an immobilizer. I know, but Kias and Hyundais nowadays do not always. It's
incredible. I genuinely think it's a troll. There's no way.
Yeah.
Like, incredible.
They're keeping the car theft business alive.
Beautiful.
Supporting our life.
Yeah, supporting our guys in black balaclavas.
We're keeping alive small businesses, and those small businesses are back alley chop shops.
Hell yeah. But anyway, yes. Speaking of becoming more accepting of cars from other countries... hopefully returning segment on this podcast called The Reds Are Coming.
The Reds Are Coming! Woo! I did not know that was coming.
It was something I thought of last night, and I'm happy to keep doing it. I was gonna do it once, see how I felt about it. Nah, we're good. This is going in.
Wait, where's I got one as well? I've got
bruh.
Oh wait, no, that's bruh. My bad.
I love how that perfectly punctuated you picking the wrong one. Like the bruh guy was so disappointed that you thought that he was the Chinese drop.
I meant to play this one. It comes from a video of a lizard. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway. Composure.
Yes.
Composure.
Moving on. So. The reason we came up with this segment was every week, seemingly, another Chinese EV is announced that's going to destroy the Western market, and
yes,
BMW and Mercedes are all doomed. And
coming to our countries and taking our brand names, yes, I think, is the other thing.
Yes, exactly. So we just thought it would be fun to see in document. And for the first, sort of unfittingly, this isn't setting the precedent that I thought would be set, because usually a lot of those are like saloons or especially SUVs. Yeah. The one that's been announced this time is a sports car.
Ooh.
That is, I can only presume, licensing the SSC name.
Seems a bit bizarre if you're going to license a name that about four people know. But...
Yeah. So what you're looking at is the SSC SC01. A lot of S's, lots of C's.
Do we know any stats on it? Any specs?
I seem to remember it's like just over like 422 horsepower. I think they're aiming for like, you know, we'll get a light electric sports car out there before Alpine or Lotus do, or
yes,
Caterham. Because
fair enough,
the
yeah,
one thing we have missed, just because I thought it was a little bit maybe like of too long ago, that. Hard top electric sports car that Caterham announced.
Yes, yeah, I do remember.
Also
that.
In the similar vein. So,
although there is one thing that I would like to touch on that is somewhat similar to this. Once we've done, well, I guess I'll do it. The MG with the terrible name,
Cyberstir.
The Cyberstir.
Terrible name. I don't want to talk about it. That's why.
Does it make you sad?
It does make me sad, yes.
Does it make you even sadder to think that MG, this is what MG has become, with its giant arrow rear indicators and, like, what do you call them? Butterfly wing doors. It's such a terrible... Like, I kind of love it, because it seems like the kind of vehicle that I would make out of an MX-5 in Midnight Club LA. But I can't believe that it's a real car, and I don't think anyone is going to buy it.
Honestly, it's dead on arrival. MG Cyberstir. Yeah. Wrong. Bad.
MG Cyberstir. What a terrible name.
The plate is in front of me, the steak is burned to a crisp, and the chips are raw. I'm sending it back to the chef. Try again.
And the waiter just spat into your drink as well.
No, it's all wrong.
Yeah. but I look forward to the one being sold in the UK.
Yeah, no, and like because the whole time, like, as more news about the Cyberster comes out, there's I forget the name of the YouTube channel. He'd actually probably be a good guy to have on as a guest at some point. There's a YouTube channel that's been, I'll flash him up on screen, who's been documenting, like, what's happened to the last MG and Rover prototypes.
Yeah.
Like the Rover TCV and the RX, yeah, whatever number it was. They have now been located. We know where they are.
Ooh.
And he's even been in contact with the MG marketing team about it. Apparently a message has been relayed on. And he's even going to appear, he announced in the last video, that he's, I don't know where because he didn't say where, probably because, I mean, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
But the BBC are going to cover his story and interview him about it.
Wow.
So, it's like,
that's
so
interesting.
So all while he's been, like, covering this about, like, sort of what you can say the last real MGs and Rover, simultaneously parallel, we're being pushed the fucking Cyberster in our faces.
It's just such a terrible name.
It's so bad.
But it doesn't work. There is no part of that. I don't even want to call it a pun. There's just nothing in there. It's just,
oh my god,
the Cyberster.
I mean, it sounds like, oh yeah, because people think cyberpunk's cool, right? Yeah, cyber's a cool word.
And it's a roadster.
So Cyberster?
No, give up.
No,
give up.
Bad. Anyway, we barely even talked about the SC. I guess it's fine.
No. There's not much to talk about yet. Maybe we'll get some more details.
Yeah, no.
At some point, if it ever happens, or it might just be a footnote in 20 years on some obscure Wikipedia article about a car that never happened.
And finally, we have the yelling at cloud segment, which, I mean,
yep.
Initially, I would plan this to be a segment, but I've realized that if we keep doing this podcast, probably most of it is going to be yelling at clouds. But I think
this is the yelling at clouds.
This is more like stuff that makes us irrationally angry specifically.
Yes.
And, oh fuck, I pressed my key so hard it actually came off my keyboard.
You're that angry at the news.
I'm so
in the news that Sayat is no more, basically, after their current group of models kind of expire. They will not have replacements, and Sayat as a brand will cease to exist.
Yeah, no. Again, it's. I'm. This is just proving again my theory of premiumize or die.
Yep.
Correct, because.
Yep.
Because
exactly.
I mean, we're all familiar with Cupra. Cupra have been around for, I think, 2 years now or something, probably more.
It only took 2 years. It only took two years or so for them to kill the brand that they were piggybacking on.
Yeah, so Cupra, the sort of performance, whatever was premium about Sayat, spun off into a separate brand. And that's going to be Sayat from now on, is, you know, like, it's going to be a sportier, more premium thing. You're going to get leather interiors. You're going to get...
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, having browse the Cupra configurator website, the petrol blue leather does look very nice, but
I'm going to have to do a Google of this right now.
But I don't really know if it's like,
that does look good.
I don't really know if it's like sad because it's not like, because it's not as if Sayat have really at any point been their own thing. Because they started off license producing Fiats, and then after VW bought them, they were, just like building things on VW platforms.
Although I will say that not many people know this, you might do, but the Seat Arosa was made entirely by Seat, and then Volkswagen liked that and then made the Lupo based on that.
Oh.
So that is their one claim
okay,
to fame.
So, all right, fair enough.
So a list of original Seat ideas is one.
What? I'm sure there are others. And we're just being horribly
ignorant.
There might
be other ideas are available.
Yes.
But,
main point of the story, Seat's dead, and that's just kind of sad because it means that good, yeah. cheap cars are dying. I mean, that's not
We've
news.
We've already known this. But
that's not news, but it's another step in it happening, and that just kind of sucks.
It's like putting down the zombified remains of your friend. You know that it's not them anymore. It doesn't matter all that much. It doesn't make any real difference, but it's still a bit sad.
Yeah, I just wish, you know...
Or maybe it's nothing like that at all, actually.
Yeah, no, I was going to try and see if I could work in, like, a Shaun of the Dead ending gag there, but, you know, cheap cars are dying, yeah. Everything sucks.
Yeah, I live with the pain.
Yes.
It's a bit sad.
Anyway, that's a podcast, well, I think.
That's about it, really. Should we do a little outro thing?
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Thank you for watching whatever this is.
I hope you enjoyed. If you got into this point, I would imagine that you probably did enjoy it in some way.
Yes, even if it was some kind of like anti-enjoyment hating on it.
You know what?
But that backfired and you still watched it to this point anyway.
Be my guest. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye, I think. Yeah, we'll do this again.
Wait, before we go, do we want to talk about the Cybertruck?